Oh, did we just miss a... Seth and I were too busy talking about conflict ditties and things like that during the break. There's a text message, Ben. Is Boomer taking the same turn Andy Rooney did? Jesus, what an old turd. Did we miss another... Did we miss another Boomer sports minute?
Apparently.
Okay, if you...
I don't know, but kids, this is... Kids, if you ever had to sit and watch 60 Minutes at night, which was awful when you're a kid, yeah. You're a kid, that you're watching torture. 60 Minutes with my grand, he's usually with my grandparents.
Yeah.
60 Minutes and Lawrence Welk were the ones that as a child, oh. I'm like, I just have to sit here and watch this trash.
Why is this on
for
TV?
A 10-year-old, like, this. Yep. It's like, so Andy Rooney was this grumpy old man that probably got paid $1 million a year to do a 1-minute rant about something that he was grumpy about. And that was the only thing I looked forward to as a young child being forced to watch 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
Yep.
And it was kind of fun. It was a grumpy old man with just gigantic old man eyebrows.
Oh, huge they eyebrows.
Were, like, he could have parted his eyebrows. They were magnificent.
Yeah.
And I miss Andy Rooney. Oh. It was back in the day, I'm guessing he was actually an actual journalist or something, but in 60 Minutes, he was just a grumpy old man for 1 minute.
All right. Yeah. Ben, we'll need to snag that sports minute at some point. Just not this second or anything like that, but my interest is piqued by this texter over here. So, yeah, we'll get to that. And we'll get to some of your texts about the topics we've been hitting here.
Then we're going to have a segment where we play nothing but Lawrence Welk music.
That's right, <Yeah. laughs> with bubbles in the studio and everything. Mm-hmm. So Shane Gillis is hosting the ESPYs tonight. I'm not a huge ESPY guy. I'll watch it some years I don't. I'm not emotionally invested in any of the awards and who wins it, even though I'm an award guy. The only Houstonian that I think, I looked at all the nominees for everything, I think the only thing as a Houstonian that I would have a vested interest in, Seth, would be Simone Biles is up for Female Athlete of the Year. But other than that, it's just a chance for a bunch of really rich sports people to get together and give awards to each other.
But there will be good highlights from it we'll play.
There will be. Yeah, there will be something. There's always something that goes viral. Shane Gillis is the host. Sometimes they get the host right, and sometimes they don't. I am in favor of this. I find Shane Gillis to be very, very funny, and I am optimistic that he will take the appropriate aim, Ricky Gervais at the Oscars style, on the scourges of the sports world.
See, the good thing about Shane Gillis, and I'm sure there's many reasons that people hate him for whatever reason, because that's the way it works these days. But I feel like Shane Gillis has hit big partly because he kind of feels like a lot of us do, where... Man, I just, like, the everyman who's been plopped down into all of this, people being angry about everything all over the place, but he's got a way of poking fun at it, where I feel like no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, you can kind of laugh at it, if he's taking aim at you.
Yeah, he's...
So I feel like athletes might, as he's roasting athletes as he's doing this, I think they'll take it in good spirit.
You do? Okay. I mean, some of them, it's a sensitive crowd. You know,
Norm Macdonald, I think, was the all-time most vicious for the ESPYs.
Yes.
It was, I mean, because, like, even more so than Ricky Gervais, I can't remember, he made some OJ jokes, like, while it was, like, still fresh.
He was making, that was his go-to, was the OJ jokes. That's what got him kicked off
SNL. Yeah. No, but in that setting especially, it was interesting.
Yeah. I was talking about that with somebody earlier this week. I think maybe I was out and about talking to some listeners. I was probably over at Lizards, talking to somebody about it, and Norm Macdonald came up. And we were talking about how Norm Macdonald and OJ jokes were almost synonymous with each other. And they reminded me, whoever it was reminding me of the story about how he got kicked off SNL. Apparently the SNL people said, enough of the OJ, like, that's it. You know, we're done. And literally, like, the very first one after that, OJ gets exonerated, and he's like, this just in, murder, legal in California. You're done.
I'm honestly, I was amazed that he made it as long as he did, because Norm Macdonald is, you either like him or don't, like, you either get him or you don't. And it's not that It's just he's whether he's your brand of humor or he's not. But Tom's always amazed that he made it as long on the update as he did.
Yeah. Because
there are a lot of people that just flat out like didn't think he was funny at all.
Right.
And then there were others that like I thought he was just a because even he's one of those guys that was he was one of the first anti-humor guys like would intentionally do bad jokes because it's funny that he's doing a bad joke.
Yes.
That was where I think that's why a lot of comedians liked him as much as they did was that he kind of pushed the boundaries. And that became a whole mode of comedy for like 15 years of just the joke is that it's a bad joke.
Yeah.
So that people that aren't in on the joke that it's a bad joke and that's what makes it a joke, just they hated it.
Yes.
So Shane Gillis, this is why I say this about Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Shane Gillis does a Trump impression that I think people on both sides of the aisle like.
I think so.
And I know there's going to be differences and people will disagree with me, but by and large, I've seen people from both walks of life that think his Trump impression is hilarious.
Yeah.
So like he gets away with a lot that like in sensitive areas that other people would just be hated for.
Well, to my knowledge, he's not chasing it with all sorts of political opinions about things. Like he
plays himself off as just a dumb fella.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
I'm just a dumb guy, like, whatever, you know, hey, there you go.
It's another thing when someone's doing an impersonation of it and you know that there's 10 political opinions behind it, you know, like that's where people I think get a little
is trying
put
to
off.
Prove a point or whatever.
Yeah, like get a little put off. So I'm predicting people I hope Shane Gillis includes in his monologue. LeBron James, who I'm guessing is going to be there. I think he's at the ESPYs all the time. LeBron James, who actually I think hosted the ESPYs one time. Hopefully he makes fun of that. Yeah,
it was when he was young, remember?
Yeah.
I think it was early in his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron Rodgers, I think. I could see some Aaron Rodgers showing up in Shane Gillis' monologue somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is kind of an under-the-radar one that I'm maybe a little more sensitive to because he was a Texan last year. But that's an easy target right now with all the stuff going on the boat with Cardi B like a month ago, you know?
The one thing I'd be curious about is, you remember on College Game Day, he kind of made a joke with Nick Saban on the panel about Alabama cheating or something. And he did it after McAfee and somebody else had told Shane Gillis, no, go for it, go for it.
Yeah.
He'll think it's hilarious. Saban did not think it was hilarious. Saban gave him a death glare.
No.
And Gillis was, it was not comfortable for him. Yeah.
Do you think, I think Bill Belichick and his girlfriend are a lock to be mentioned in his monologue?
Oh, yeah,
for
lot.
Sure.
Quite a lot. Yeah.
For sure.
So I don't think, but Belichick or Saban will not be in attendance, I could predict.
No, I would agree with that. Do you think, similar to how he's found a way to do a Trump impersonation and not really piss anybody off, does he find a way to make an Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark joke that doesn't make people angry?
I think he finds a way to make a joke that pisses off
everybody.
90% of America. I think that because that's a crossover hit.
Yeah.
And whenever you go into a crossover hit, that there's people that don't follow sports at all that are debating Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. They will not like the joking about it.
Yep.
So both Caitlin Clark admirers and Angel Reese admirers will be 3,000 word think pieces out there on blogs all over America about how evil Shane Gillis is for having made that joke.
Amen.
About both of them, about both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Yep.
Yes.
I'll watch the monologue for Shane Gillis, first time watching the ESPYs in years. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the monologue. The rest of it, whatever, I'll have it on in the background. But
cool. He does. He does a thing about going through the Thomas Jefferson, going through the tour at, what was the name of Thomas Jefferson's house there? It was,
I don't know.
Monticello.
It's a plantation.
Yeah.
Right?
And, I think I'm wrong on that, but whatever. But he's like, you know, when I'm going through and I won't do it cause I'll botch it and people will hate me for it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of his struggle of like, trying to be super patriotic, dude, but also trying to be like recognizing that, we did some messed up stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
And you go through Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Jefferson was like the apex of like, wow, a lot of the awesome ideals that made America great, but there's also this
other stuff going on.
Thing.
Yeah. Hey, shifting gears for a second, you and I were talking about the, speaking of things that somehow get polarized politically and whatnot. The Superman movie. It's funny, Seth. I was talking about, Amy says this to me yesterday out of nowhere. She's like, I've heard the Superman movie's really, really good. We should go see it. And I said, I've heard that it's good from some people. And I've heard that it's horrible from other people, which I'm always inclined to go see. Anything that, like, it's 50-50, like, polarizing like this, I'll go see just to see what the fuss is all about, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people are talking about it.
Right.
It's our job and tax expense to, or a deductible expense to go watch that movie.
That's right. Keep your receipts, kids.
As long as we talk about it, you know, I'd be sure we talk about it after.
Right, right. Or in this case,
the IRS coming after you.
That's it. I don't need that. Mike Francesa, longtime radio host up in New York on WFAN. Now he's got his own streaming show that he does. We played his audio. Former co-host of Mad Dog Russo, whose audio we play on this show quite a bit. This went viral. He did like an eight-minute monologue on how horrible the Superman movie was. He went and saw it. I'm not going to play all 8 minutes of it. I picked out a couple cuts here, though, that I think many of you will find entertaining. This is his lead-in, where he says he really hated this movie.
What I'm getting into is this stunk, as for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours and wants to see Superman, this movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture. I mean, I'll tell you this. If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was. This was 2 hours of this new Superman. It was a decent, he wasn't Christopher Reeve, but he was okay Superman. 2 hours of him getting the crap beat out of him. Who wants to see Superman get beat up for 2 hours? He's getting beat up by everybody. Plus, you have other superheroes in the movie. I didn't go there to see some guy named Mr. Terrific. I didn't go there to see the Green Lantern or some lady named Hawk something or other. I don't even know who she was. Okay, these other superheroes who he calls on. Who needs other superheroes? This is a Superman movie. You want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, keep his disguise, and battle crime. That's what you want to see.
The times have changed, Francesa. We need to see the hero get beat up a little bit so that there's a comeback in the end, you know?
So I'm going to review his review based on this standard.
There's more coming, but continue.
I know. But based on this standard, okay, does this sound like a bad movie or does this sound like a grumpy old man who is in love with his version in his mind of what Superman should be? And so far, I'm leaning towards, all right, you don't like this particular version of Superman more so than the movie itself.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So I'm leaning towards grumpy old man right now.
Yep, I am too. Now, I just looked it up. I'm not a comic book guy at all. I've seen several of the movies. If they're really popular, I'll go see them. I'll probably go see this one with alcohol.
Plus, it's not like there hasn't ever battled other superheroes before. That's
Mr. Terrific is an actual, is a superhero appearing in the American comic books published by DC Comics. I couldn't tell if that was something he was just making up as like a name. Like, I don't need to see, you know, like the equivalent of someone saying Joe Blow, you know? Like, I don't need to see Mr. Terrific, actual superhero.
He almost said Lex Luthor because he caught himself. Lex Luthor is, now, correct me if I'm wrong, he's not really a superhero. He's just a villain, right?
He's a villain. He's apparently in this movie, but yeah, he's a villain. He's a villain.
I saw one little clip with Lex Luthor in it, and I kind of liked him. I'm like, I kind of side with Lex Luthor in this clip. I've seen one clip of the movie, and the one thing that I thought immediately was like, this seems like a much more emotional Superman
than
I've seen before. Yeah. He seems more like a human Superman.
Francesa does not like that this version of Superman had robots and a dog.
Early on, there's robots. I don't want robots. Okay, I don't want robots taking care of Superman. I don't. Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive? I watched Superman for years on television. I never saw a dog with a cape. I never saw robots.
To answer his question, by the way, 1955.
that was when the original Supermans were coming.
That's the original Crypto the Superdog.
Oh, there was a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Ben. Ben's like Statboy on Pardon the Interruption
So now I'm veering towards grumpy old man who's not old enough or is so old that he doesn't remember. I'd like that sounded like a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
I don't want robots. Like it's very much you want everything just so.
Yes.
I want everything just so, and it needs to be just the way I like it.
Everything like it was with Christopher Reeve in the first Superman movie.
This is what it sounds like. I don't know why they can't make the exact same Superman movie every single time. Are you telling me they couldn't make money with that? Why are they changing things in such a way that people might find it entertaining because it's different from the original one?
Do you want one more?
I am 100% going to go see this movie now based on my grumpy old man spectrum.
Francesa,
yes.
Yeah. Francesa says, yeah, I know there were some politics that people got upset about, but this movie sucked.
Before you get into all the Middle East innuendos, all right, you got people claiming it's anti-Semitic. I mean, hey, I'm not getting into the political ramifications of it. Are there political ramifications and innuendos? Yes. Forget that. This is just awful. I mean, I actually think the people who wrote this must have been on some kind of hallucinogen before they decided that this was a wrap and this was what they were going to go with. The creative consultants and the writers in this thing must have all been absolutely rocked before they made this thing. That's how bad
it was. Certainly a good Hollywood movie has never been made with when the people involved were doing drugs of any sort.
Chemical influenced.
Wait a second. Are you telling me people in Hollywood were on the jazz? No way. Not for me, Sam. I know what he's saying, though. There's sometimes you're watching a movie, it's like, all right, these guys have done a little too much acid, even by Hollywood standards.
Yeah.
Okay. One, 100% I'm going to go see it now.
Yeah.
Two, I wish he hadn't tipped his hat as to, like, what... I didn't know. I knew that some people were either saying that it's too political or it's been politicized or whatever. I didn't want to have any knowledge of what the actual issue was.
Yeah.
But still, I'm going to go to try to watch it with a clean slate. But no, based on his incredibly negative review of Superman, I feel like I have to go watch it and 100%. See it now.
He made me way more likely to go see it now than I was before seeing his review.
Average audience rating so far is 4 out of 5.
Oh, okay. Are you what,
on whichever website I saw that on.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's check the Rotten Tomatoes. I'm always intrigued by... Okay, I'm going to predict right now.
I'll open it up. You predict. Rotten Tomatoes.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm always intrigued by the ones that have a really high audience score but a really low critic score,
yeah,
or vice versa.
Yep.
I'm guessing this has a really high audience score and a really low critic score.
Okay, I'm going to the search box here. Superman. Let's see. Superman... 2025 Superman. Here we go. All right. What do you guess? Give me your guess again.
I'm guessing that it's a high audience score, yep, like around 90, and a low critic score, like a 65.
Okay. The tomato meter is the critic score, right? And the popcorn meter is the audience,
yeah,
score. Am I right about,
yeah,
that? Popcorn meter, 93%. So Francesa, okay, is in a very, very small minority here.
I don't want robots.
He's a grumpy old man.
The critics, yes, lower. 83%.
Oh, still 83%.
83%,
okay.
Yeah, lower, right, but not that much lower, yeah.
This sounds like one of those things that people are screaming about expecting to find a sympathetic audience when they talk about it's because, especially if they're politicizing it at all.
Yeah.
But by and large, most people are like, whatever, bro, settle down, it's a movie.
Right,
okay?
Right. All right, your thoughts on it. Oh, by the way, Seth, people said George Washington, not Thomas Jefferson, and Monticello was the house. You were talking about Thomas Jefferson and Shane Gillis.
Oh, no, his bit. Okay. Thomas Jefferson was Monticello, but George Washington was the bit.
Oh,
the bit,
okay,
he was doing about,
okay,
it,
gotcha.
I think,
gotcha.
Right? Yeah.
It's.
I might be wrong on that, too. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson's house is named Monticello, but
the bit was George Washington.
The bit that Shane Gillis was doing is about George Washington.
Thank you,
everybody.
Yep.
Luckily, I gave the disclaimer that I was almost definitely wrong on,
yep,
on that. Yes,
absolutely. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. We've been talking about these top 10 lists that ESPN's been doing, going by position. There is one position where they got no votes. Actually, it's two positions, one big group, the offensive line. Will anybody get a vote next year in the top 10 for the offensive line for the NFL from the Texans? And if so, who will it be? That's coming up next.